Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
We welcome you back to another edition of Inside Boxing Live. It is confirmed that this is the best boxing podcast in the history of podcasts. It's because I'm joined every week by the former 140-pound champion, Chris Algieri. Chris, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. And I like what you just said. The best in the history of not only boxing, not only podcasts, boxing, not only boxing podcasts, but podcasts in general.
A lot of boxing podcasts out there, but we are rising to the top here week in, week out. Get random messages from fans, random messages from people in the industry. So I appreciate everyone that is out there listening. And I don't do this often, but I will say go out and subscribe to Inside Boxing Live YouTube, over on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. Rate and review. Give us a 5-star rating. Leave us a review. Those things help. I got to start doing that more, asking you to do those things, but please go out and do that, because that really helps the show.
And guys, when you see us in public, it really makes Dan feel good when you tell us how great our podcast is. It's amazing how much he glows after every single person ever says anything to us. Whenever we're together and we're like on location for fights, someone will always be like, Inside Boxing Live, we love you guys. And Dan's always, look at his face. If you people were
watching, you're used to that. World champion. You're used to getting selfies and stuff.
You haven't experienced that, so it's very cool when you guys do that. Just for the record,
hell yeah!
Say hi to us.
I always said when we did our live show at Jack Doyle's, which we're gonna do some more stuff this year with that. I said it that right in there. Like, I still think that me and you, when we do these podcasts, that there's not a single soul listening, which is something that we're doing. But it's not true, because I see the numbers and people are tuning in. So that's awesome. So thank you everyone out there for watching and all that stuff. This episode is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs. NFL playoffs are in full swing, and DraftKings is bringing you an offer that will help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet just $5 on any game, get 200 instantly back in bonus bets. So go ahead, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use code IBL. New customers can bet just $5 to get 200 instantly in bonus bets, only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code IBL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-HOPE-NY, or you can text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem. Call 888-789-7777, or you can visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. cdkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming sources. Back to the show. Let's get into the news. Saturday night, Artur Beterbiev moves to 20-0 with 20 stoppages. He stops Callum Smith. Scary, man. This guy's closing in on 40 years old, and this is one of his better performances. Calculated, patient, but also got off to a quick start. The one thing we said last week, or if you watch Beterbiev, he gets off to slow starts, double jabs, power shots, just fierce. Just such a great joy to watch. Artur Beterbiev, man, this guy is just, I am running out of words to describe this guy. Just such a force at 175.
Speaking of words, I'm going to eat mine. All the mistakes that I've seen him, I did a deep dive and analytical on these guys on their matchup. And there were things that Artur used to do that were going to be score big trouble for him. Especially against a puncher like Callum Smith, he fixed them all. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. Ask Artur Beterbiev about that. He learned some new tricks. He's getting better, which is wild. Like you said, he's 38 years old, which is very old for boxing. And he's still learning. He's still getting better. He's just as dangerous, just as aggressive, just as physical, just as explosive. A lot of times you see old guys age, right? Like, you think Bernard Hopkins. Bernard Hopkins, when he was closer to 30, was a very different fighter than he was when he was in his 40s. He fought a very different pace. Artur Beterbiev is doing the same thing he did 10 years ago. He's just he's an anomaly. I mean, I'm so impressed with this guy.
Yeah, I mean, just getting to the fight, you know, he came out quick. Closed the distance immediately, and he was on him fast, like right on Smith, right in his grill within the first 20 seconds of the of the fight. And it's the one knock on Beterbiev is that he's a little bit of a slow starter, takes a little bit for that engine to warm up. And that wasn't the case in this fight. Number two is, like, everyone talks about Callum Smith and this ferocious power, and he's a brute, and he's a knockout guy. Dude, this guy out-jabbed Smith. And if you watched or listened to our show last week, I gave you Smith's jab numbers. He has the world record for most jabs attempted at 168 pounds, like 700, 800 jabs in a fight. He was the one that was supposed to be the jabber, Smith. It was Beterbiev that was setting up every combination, double jabs, power jabs. That jab was more than just a jab. It was a power shot. So I think that fight, it scared to hit the future out there at 175, which is Dmitry Bivol, because he's doing a little bit of everything. He's not just a brute with strength and power. He is a full package, man. That jab was everything.
Yeah, I know. He was. You know what I love about his jab? He used it well to close the distance, which was a fault of his, and I called that out before, but he fixed that. But he throws the jab in the middle too. Like, he's at that middle distance, and you'll be close enough, and he'll finish a combination, and then he'll just put that jab on you again. And you saw that a lot with Callum Smith, getting his head just popped back, even from the inside or middle distance range, where, I mean, that's where Callum Smith was supposed to be the dangerous one. But it was Beterbiev's jab that completely shut down the offense of Callum Smith. Also, took his power away. Callum Smith didn't look powerful. He did, none of his shots looked scary or dangerous the way they have had in every other fight. Beterbiev's jab was able to completely shut down the offense, take away the power, take away everything that Callum had in order to win that fight. And just in a matter of time, just breaking him down. And he wasn't loading up. He wasn't overpunching.
No,
he wasn't overthrowing at all. And I saw a great line from Callum Smith. He said, yeah, up until the knockdown, you know, I really didn't feel any power all night long. Let's see, Callum, I mean, because Beterbiev wasn't really trying like that. He wasn't trying to knock him out before that. He's a break you down kind of guy. But he was consistent this time. Really, really consistent with the jab and the power punches. Scary, scary guy.
Yeah, he's like must watch. And what yes. I loved about him at being like a power guy with the 20 stoppages, and that, you know, most of them are the break you down types of TKOs. And what he does is he doesn't load up on a shot. His shots are so short. They're so compact. His footwork is unbelievable. Top Rank put out a really cool piece of content. In the lead up, some of it was on Instagram, and it was explaining his footwork and explaining his, and kind of breaking down how Beterbiev closes the distance and how he applies pressure and how he always keeps his lead foot in the middle of his target. And it was really cool from Top Rank then to go and watch it in the fight. But just some more numbers. He actually landed Beterbiev more jabs than power shots. He landed 15 jabs per round, and that is an astronomical number. That you'd be lucky to see a guy's land 5-6 jabs per round. So to land 15 jabs per round, and he landed 61 of his 187 punches in rounds 3 and 4. So that's when he picked it up. So you don't know what's coming from you. And as for Smith, I just thought he found himself on the ropes a lot. And when he was up on the ropes, Beterbiev made him pay. You know, he was on those ropes a lot because Beterbiev knows how to cut off a ring like no other. His just the pressure, like you can attest to this. Like, how tough is it when you're facing a big puncher and the guy just puts on so much pressure without exactly throwing punches too?
You're drowning. You feel like you're underwater when you got a guy like that, and your stress level is so high. Your stress level is so high at that point because the power is real and you feel it and you know it, and you're cautious of every punch because any mistake could be the end of the night. The stress is through the roof. Then on top of that, you got a guy who's physically pushing the pace and pushing the limit and pushing your endurance. So I liken it to being like you're drowning, like you're underwater. Not only are you dealing physically with the resistance of the water, but also you can't breathe. You're underwater. There's nowhere to get oxygen. There's nowhere to get breath. And that's what it's like being in with a pressure fighter who can punch. It's you're drowning. And Callum Smith looked like he was drowning from the opening round.
Yeah, and as for Smith, you know, afterwards he's talking about, you know, I had a good career. You know, I did a lot. And he did. He's had a good career. If you know, 168 unified champion, he got the ultimate pinnacle, which is a fight with Canelo. A fight with Beterbiev is up there. It's not the same thing as fighting a Canelo. But unified champ 168, I mean, there's fights for him over in domestic level if he wants to go out there and fight some of the UK guys at 175. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people were giving him like that shot during the week. People still underestimate Beterbiev, but I don't think that's the case anymore. I think even the people that are still on the fence about Beterbiev were like, holy shit, this guy is really good. Let's talk about that adverse finding, because afterwards, Tony Bellew, Matchroom voice, former Matchroom fighter, Matchroom rider, pretty much insinuated that Beterbiev is on PEDs. You know, he didn't exactly say it, but he insinuated, he mentioned baseball, you know, like Barry Bonds getting better as he ages. He mentioned how Beterbiev was getting stronger. He's taking out these opponents easier. There was an adverse finding, which had higher levels of HGH. What's exactly an adverse finding? Why was this fight able to go on? And are we surprised that Beterbiev is getting these types of tweets sent at him and accusations?
No, we're not surprised, because you know, the old saying, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, looks like a duck, it's probably a duck. So it's a lot of situations. Exactly all the things Tony Bellew said. It's like, well, this guy's getting older and better, and his physique is always insane. And then we hear that there's adverse findings, that he has elevated testosterone and HGH in multiple drug tests, both urine and blood, in the months leading up to a big fight. It's kind of like, huh. Like, I never thought it.
Out?
What's that?
Should have that? Who leaked that out? Should that have get leaked out?
It shouldn't, because if you're not failing, then what do we? Why is this out? You know, if you didn't fail a test,
right?
And they're not going to do a deeper investigation or a deeper dive onto those adverse findings, because this just raises a lot of question marks and curiosity for me. I'm very curious, because listen, some people are genetically different and they're freaks and they can carry their testosterone late in life. Actually, let me pull this back. After the age of 30, everyone's testosterone drops. And we're specifically talking about male athletes here, much more so, because males carry a lot more testosterone than females do. Females have testosterone as well. Females actually have more testosterone than they do estrogen, but much, much lesser degree than males do. So you see a big drop off in male athletes in their 30s, mostly because of a testosterone drop, which is natural and normal. You got a guy who's now not only past 30, but he's approaching 40. And to have him have elevated testosterone levels at late stage in life, a little curious. I would like to see the numbers. I would like to see what kind of testosterone we're really talking about here. On top of that, boxing training, this is going to sound weird, does drop testosterone levels. My testosterone's way higher now that I'm retired than it was during my career, because you're burning through it. Doesn't mean necessarily that you have low testosterone. Yeah, objectively, the number might be low, but you're not showing any of the symptoms, because Your body's burning through it because you train so hard. It's also long endurance. Endurance breaks down testosterone, breaks down your body's free testosterone, because it's being utilized. You're also hypocaloric. You're losing weight, which lowers your testosterone. If you are not eating enough food to actually be gaining weight or maintain weight, your testosterone is going to go down. So it's just very curious to have elevated testosterone in this sport in particular, especially in older age. The HGH, though, that one really, that perked my ears quite a bit. Why was there HGH metabolites or HGH showing up in these blood exams? HGH, both of the things that were shown in his urine and blood are naturally occurring. You do have HGH, which is called human growth hormone. It is a human growth hormone that your body has, and use it to grow. You have it a lot when you're younger and you're actually literally physically maturing. You still have it throughout the rest of your life. And really low levels is not good for you. And having some in your system is important, especially for health and vitality. It's just curious that would be showing up in as adverse findings. It's very curious. I think there should be a lot more investigation into this to see why. Also, I think we should, if it is natural, and I'm not saying that this was by any means utilizing PEDs or whatever, this guy might be just a total genetic freak. We should be studying him as an experiment to see why his HGH and testosterone levels are so damn high.
Yeah, it was another one of those muddying the waters type of thing. Like we get that tweet, it comes out, and then, you know, this apparently happens quite often. Like these numbers never make it to these reports never make it to the public. You know, was it Matchroom that leaked them out there?
And then when they do, the numbers don't come out.
Right, and it's just, and the fight went on.
Objective tests with numbers and values. How come we don't get those?
The fight still went on. The public didn't seem to care too much. There was, it's just funny, and it's always been the case with boxing. It's funny who boxing fans decide to persecute, and it's also interesting who boxing fans let these types of things kind of slide by the wayside. Quick break in the action to talk to you about our friends at Factor. Get started on your New Year's resolutions with Factor, so you're ready for the new year. Factor's ready-to-eat meal delivery takes the stress out of meal planning and sets you up for success in this new year of 2024. You skip the grocery stores. You can skip the prep work, cooking fatigue, all that. You get chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals right to your doorstep. They deliver it to my doorstep. I love it. I'm on the go. Chris is on the go. You're on the go. Who is not on the go these days? So you get your Factor meals. You can plan it ahead and really figure out which you want to get. You can go with the keto. You can go with the calorie smart. You can go with the vegan, the veggie. They have a ton of different varieties and options for you. So you can personally curate what you want to get on a week-to-week basis. That's over 55 weekly add-ons. You have a ton of nutritious and flavorful options to kickstart your resolutions. I love Factor because I can bring it right to the office. I put it in the microwave, and it's not just some microwave meal. It's high protein. It's very healthy, and it's a great way if you're on the go to make things a lot easier. Factor now offers a lot of snack options too. I got their breakfast, which was really good. Egg bites. The smoothies were phenomenal. We had some caffeine, like coffee smoothies. We had all sorts of fruit smoothies, snacks. So you keep you going when you're on the run. So go over to factormeals.com/boxing50. Use code boxing50. Get 50% off. That's boxing50. Factormeals.com/boxing50, 50% off. That's a pretty damn good deal. Back to the show. Fight went on. Better be have won. And now we move on to what could be one of the best fights you could possibly make in the sport. Artur Beterbiev versus Dmitry Bivol. According to Eddie Hearn, Dmitry Bivol has already signed off on it. His Excellency over in Saudi Arabia says he wants to make the fight for June or July. All systems are a go. These two have been champions since 2017. Beterbiev has been a unified champion since 2019. They are very clearly one and two, wherever you want to rank them, at 175, both undefeated, both still at the top of their games. I mean, haven't shown any signs of weakness here. It is an unbelievable matchup in terms of style, with Bivol as the slick defensive guy and Beterbiev as a seek and destroy pressure fighter. I mean, this is one of the best matchups you could possibly make in the sport. And I honestly think now we're finally going to get it.
And it's one that you and I have been really excited about on our air for the last 2 years, really. And normally boxing does this the wrong way. And they make these fights happen at the wrong time. And they push them way back. They get way overdone, overcooked. The fighters themselves are not the same guys by the time they step in the ring. This time, I think it's actually working out for it to be a positive. Because Beterbiev is getting better. and Bivol, he's had so much time off. And thank God he got a fight in. So he got to knock off some of that rust. We haven't seen any slippage from him. He has been consistently at fighting at high level for a very long time. And his performances were always pretty much the same. Yeah, he got rocked by Joe Smith. Yeah, he had some fights that weren't super fun to watch.
If you only find one moment from a guy's career, then he's had a good career.
He's had a great career. I mean, and even the fights that were, you know, ho-hum or seen that way, he was still dominant. I think that they're both going to be fighting at a time when they're still very close to, if not at their peak. So for once, boxing is actually going to nail this on the head right, as long as this happens. And we're already talking about it as a foregone conclusion, like it's going to happen. Yeah, like you said, all signs point to yes. All the pawns are in position to make this happen. But man, let's keep our fingers crossed, make sure it does happen.
But you know why we're confident is because Saudi Arabia is going to stage it. I mean, His Excellency today just said, I'm very keen on making that fight. They want to make it after Ramadan, so which is sometime between June and July. And you're right, Chris. They're getting up there in age. Like we said, they've been champions since 2017. Everyone else in other divisions are either unifying or they're going for undisputed. This was the one that we thought maybe would slip away because of the cockamamie rule by WBC not sanctioning it. They haven't come out and said that. I don't think that even matters. But it's very clear that they are 1A and 1B. And you're right. Beterbiev is not slowing down. This isn't like a Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather thing where they're towards the end of their career and Pacquiao had been iced by Marquez and Mayweather was, you know, closing in on 40. Yeah, Beterbiev is closing on 40, but he's still dropping fools and he's still unbeatable. Bivol beat Canelo Alvarez and is still dancing circles around opponents. I mean, it's the ultimate matchup, and everyone right now is trying to figure out who's going to win, and it's fun, because when there are 50-50 fights, this is when it's fun, and when you can really make a case for either guy. I think that the momentum is on the side of Beterbiev. Of course, with the stoppages that he's accumulating now over the level of opposition that he's doing it against. And then you have Bivol, who goes out there and he'll UD you to death. I mean, it's not the sexiest style, but it's a sustainable style to win. So I'll ask you, Chris, put you on the spot. I know you don't like to do these right away, but who are you leaning towards in a Bivol better BF matchup?
So no question here. And I think no surprise, because I have been all Bivol in this matchup for the last couple of years. I've always said that Bivol had a style that would beat better BF, that in and out tricky Russian style, the in and out, the constant endurance, his gas tank is amazing, his consistent jab, his combination punching, and just the fact his defense just doesn't get hit. But after Saturday, I really have to rethink things. I have been all Bivol all the way this whole time. For once, for the very first time, I'm like, man, I really need to sit down and do my homework on this one. Because Bivol, listen, Bivol still might, I might do my research and really look into this and be like, yeah, it just doesn't match up stylistically. It's still a good matchup for Bivol. It's still going to make it happen. But the new folds that I saw in Beterbiev's game and the way he was able to execute even at a high level with a dangerous opponent really puts things into question for me. So I'm going to have a lot of, you mentioned how fun this is that when we have these kinds of fights, I'm really looking forward to sitting down and hammering home the tape review. Cause I did that for Callum Smith and Beterbiev and it changed my mind. I had Callum Smith last week. I was like, Callum Smith's going to do it. I was telling everybody, I'm like, put the money on Callum Smith.
Put that C note down or what?
I didn't. And then I did like the tape review that really watched the things that they do. And I'm like, no, Beterbiev's going to knock him out. He's just a different kind of guy. So it's a lot of fun to even like surprise yourself when you get to actually watch the sport under an educated eye.
Clyde is coming in the back. What's up, yeah. Clyde?
He's making noise, this guy. He's very excited. Clyde.
That's Chris's dog. It's interesting because you take a look at Bivol. Like, Bivol wins this fight by being perfect for 12 rounds, right? Yeah. Having to be a tip-top, in and out, defense. Don't go on the ropes. And he could easily do that in this fight. Like, Bivol can pitch a shutout, and it's not a shutout, but you know what I mean? Like, can put on a virtuoso performance and still do just enough on offense.
A la Canelo. That was a very dangerous fight, and he fought perfect.
Right, he fought perfect. He had his moments on offense. He will frustrate the hell out of you because you feel like there's a second gear in there, but he's done this his whole career, and he's come out with a shit ton of UDs. But with Beterbiev, I feel like Beterbiev can just break him down. I think just it's more likely that Beterbiev, even if he's not on his best game, could go to a plan B or find something else, where I just don't think Bivol, like I just said, doesn't have that second gear, doesn't have that plan B, doesn't have that game-changing power, doesn't, the great equalizer that Beterbiev has or systematically break you down. I don't know, man. It's an awesome matchup. I'm really excited. I don't want to get too excited because this is boxing, and it could easily just vaporize and then we don't get this fight. But now with the Saudis in the mix and them willing to throw money at any big fight out there, I honestly do think we get this fight in the summer, and it's a great one. It's an all-time. I would like to see them fight three times. Like, why not once? Because there's no one else at 175. It's clearly them and then the rest,
and they both deserve it because trilogies make money. And for the fighters particularly. So that's if this fight is a modern day classic, yeah, let's run it back. Maybe run it back a third time. Both these guys, I think, have missed a lot of opportunities for things that are out of their hands. It's only right that they're going to be able to recoup that lost time now, even in the later end of twilight of their career. It's crazy to talk about the twilight of Bivol's career because, like, he just came on the scene, 2.5 years ago and has been so inactive.
He's so inactive, and he's just
33,
like,
30.
Right. Anyone who beats Canelo Alvarez and then somehow takes a step back in his career is
he also smoked Ramirez. Like, Zerto is not a bad fighter. Zerto's about to be a cruiserweight world champion. It's Bivol is special.
Yes, he is. Can't wait for that one whenever it does happen. We got plenty of time to talk about that one. Christian Mabili, just to put a bow on Saturday night, coming out party. Christian Mabili had himself a coming out party. This guy at 168 has been fighting in relative anonymity, fighting on smaller cards, getting highlight reel knockouts that you see on Instagram the next day. Or, he fought a Carlos Gongora, and that was a nice win, but you didn't really have a lot of eyeballs on it. Put him on ESPN. Put him on a better BF card. Watch this guy shine. I think he made the most of his moment fighting a guy that a lot of people were texting me that looked exactly like you. Carl Moretti tweeted about it. Murdoch, did you get any messages about that?
I didn't. I think I could look at and see certain certain similarities.
The jawline. Yeah, it was the chiseled jawline. But I got a bunch of people texting me. I was live on our YouTube page and like, is that Algeria in there? And I was like, oh, yeah, it's not Chris. But anyway, Mabili does his thing in there in 18 minutes. The fight lasted six rounds. He threw over 500 punches. He landed 230 plus. He landed 52% of his power shots, 90 plus body shots. Fan-friendly style is going to stand in there and throw everything with mean intentions. That can also be his downfall.
Like, he's going to get hit.
Christian Mabili is not here for a long time. He's here for a good time. And there are some intriguing matchups at 168 now for him. I want to see this guy against some of the upper guys, some of the bigger names at 168, because he's fun and he's a new name and he's going to, you know, probably get knocked out, but he's going to go in there and try to take you out beforehand.
You said it. He's fun. I was not overly impressed with him. I didn't think the guy he was fighting was very good either, but it was a fun fight to watch. Two tough guys banging it out. And then Billy's definitely much classier than Murdoch. But yeah, I actually remember calling, I think it was his first top rank fight. I forgot where we were, but I remember calling his fight and not being impressed at all. And he struggled with it with a journeyman type guy. And he's had a really good run recently. Obviously, he's definitely gotten much better. But from what I saw on Saturday night, he's going to make somebody look really good. He's got a really sterling record. He fights a guy like a Canelo where people might be able to sell it. Cause like, oh man, you always get this great record. Canelo wipes the floor with him. And, it'll look good in Canelo cause he's got, you know, this undefeated guy that he's beaten up. But otherwise, I don't know. There's a lot of fights for him in 68, but I don't really see him at that elite level like the rest of those guys.
He's not going to, I don't think he gets the Canelo fight. Like, why would
Canelo? No, he won't, Christian, but I'm just Billy? Saying.
I mean, and he signed to either Tiger Promotions, or a smaller promotion, but, you know, they do put on a lot of fights north of the border. Yeah, he had a guy in there that he was clearly better than. But in terms of, like, seizing the moment and, like, having people talk about you, that's so important in this sport because you can be forgotten about so easily. Look at Dmitry Bivol. So he goes in there and he shines and he gives us a fan-friendly fight. But, I mean, just once again, we have one of the best and smartest communities out there. You know, everyone's tweeting at me, this guy gets wiped by Canelo, he gets wiped by Morel, gets wiped by Benavidez, he leaves himself too open. Yeah, every fighter has flaws, and doesn't mean I don't want to not, you know, see those fights. I still want to see those fights. I mean, just because he'll be a big-time underdog doesn't mean I don't want to see him. But this guy's ranked number one by the WBC. He's ranked number one in the WBA. And, you know, David Morel, he's the world champion by the WBA standards at 168. Canelo is the super champion. So to be ranked number one in two sanctioning bodies, I don't know, people don't really understand the sanctioning body. That's really hard to do because they can have David Benavidez number one in one sanctioning body, and then he's not ranked at all in the other one. So clearly he's playing the game properly in terms of that side of the game. He looks the part. He might get himself a big fight. Like Canelo, let's just get that out of there because I just don't think that's likely. But like a Christian Mabili versus a David Morel, you know, two guys that are atop the WBA rankings, obviously Morel would be a heavy favorite, but it would be a damn fun fight.
He's going to get the shot for sure. That O that he has is really important. That's really going to help him get that opportunity. But yeah, is it going to be a David Morel, which would make sense on Amazon Prime? I think that they're angling him to be one of the stars of that new platform for PBC. So that would make sense.
Chris breaking some news here, a little insider right there.
That would be a nice sterling record to have and a good looking main event. So that would make a lot of sense. But I mean, any of those guys at 68. And Billy, you know, he would. What about like an Edgar Berlanga? Getting a fight like that would be like, that makes sense. Cause that's a fight that and Billy would actually be in. Also a very fun fight to watch. Diego Pacheco.
I don't think that'll ever happen because Mabili is here in the rankings. And
yeah, that wouldn't be smart. That wouldn't be smart from Mabili's standpoint because Pacheco is really dangerous. I'm trying to think who else is there. 68.
What we're trying to say Munguia? Is like Munguia. Yeah, we'll see Munguia against Derevchenko at the end of the month. But what we're saying is there's just another name added to it. That's not a bad thing.
Munguia is fighting Ryder end of the month.
That's what I meant. Munguia is fighting Ryder January 27th. There's a new name at 168. There's a new player. We get to sit here and talk about him. We're talking about him on the show. Probably wouldn't have if he didn't put out a great performance. Not saying he's going to be able to beat anyone at 168, but he's going to be fighting someone.
He'll get those fights,
which is great. Let's get to the end here with some headlines. Heavyweight Saudi news. Can't go about 3 or 4 days without some new Saudi news.
We're getting heavyweight news. We had the heavyweight news in 18 months.
Back, baby. Heavyweight division is healthy because Anthony Joshua and Francis Ngannou face off in London for the first time press conference. Eddie Hearn is there. Frank Warren is there. His Excellency is there. That's the most important man here. The guy's this is the guy. He's the money man. He's following me on Twitter. It's a big, it's, you know, no big deal. He's sharing Chris's Pro Box interviews. No big deal. This guy's throwing around crazy money, and some undercards are set. So the undercard of Joshua Ngannou will see Zilhai Zhang fighting Joseph Parker. This is a logical next step type of fight for each guy in the heavyweight division. A fight that would be like maybe last year would never happen, but now it does happen. It just makes two red hot guys getting in the ring, figuring out who's next. You can make a case the winner could be the number three ranked heavyweight in the world.
Dude, what's going on with boxing? We got heavyweights and they're also making rational like moves. This is crazy. Like this rational has never been part of the boxing lexicon. And now
Dolo, all of a sudden, baby,
we're getting fights that make sense. Zach Parker and Zhilei Zhang is not Joseph Parker and Zhilei Zhang are not a fight that I've literally had in my mind, but now that it's being brought up, I'm like, yeah, this fight makes sense. And legitimately not sure who's going to win the fight. I lean toward Zhang, but I could definitely see Parker pulling that out. Right. And like you said, whoever wins that fight, right there. They're just outside the top guys and deserve to fight any of them.
Right. If you had Wilder in your top four or five, and then Parker goes in and basically blanks him, Parker, and with his resume before what he did against Wilder, even with a loss to Joyce, you have to figure him into the top five. And then Zhang with two big wins over Joyce and what he's been doing in the heavyweight division when he took Hrgovic into deep waters and just his resurgence. You can make a case that this just, you know, brings them up the pecking order. And Zilhai Zhang was rumored to fight Deontay Wilder. We didn't like that fight. That fight didn't make any sense. A Parker-Zhang fight, like, makes sense. Like, if there were, like, official rankings, we're just talking about how awful some of these sanctioned bodies are. If there were official rankings, like, one body, this would be the next up fight. You know, if Fury is going to fight Usyk and Joshua's going to fight Ngannou or whatever, the next matchup would be like a Parker versus Zhang. And as a boxing fan, you have to be ecstatic with that. Yes, it's going down in Saudi Arabia. You might not be able to go, but we'll be able to watch. And that's what's most important. And the division is moving towards a good place. This is great.
Also, like the rematch with Joshua and Parker was shot down by Eddie Hearn, which hurts Parker, right? But right. Now he's getting a shot here. Like, it just seems like something that's the right thing is happening. Parker's getting his shot, even though, you know, he probably did deserve the Joshua rematch, but they shot that down. But he's still getting a shot against someone else, and he's gonna get paid. So yeah, I know it's weird, and boxing usually doesn't work this way.
It's like our wildest dreams are coming true thanks to Saudi Arabia. But yeah, Parker, 10-month span, Wilder and Zhang. Beast. Joseph Parker, hats off to you.
Beast.
Zhang, two big wins over Joyce. You get rewarded with a huge payday. He could have waited around, too, sat on his ranking and waited for the
40-year-old in the world.
Yeah, he could have waited and sat on his ranking and waited for a title shot. Or you can go out and make, you know, game-changing money at 40 years old. So shout out to the Lane brothers, too. They have guided Zilhai Zhang's career perfectly. Mm-hmm. So that's fun. Ray Vargas versus Nick Ball. Ray Vargas fighting in Saudi Arabia is the weirdest, like, thing ever. I don't know how that happened, but Nick Ball, short little compact 126 pounder that fights ferociously. Then you have Ray Vargas, who is like 5'11 and has been a world champ. I don't know how Ray Vargas got out of a fight with Brandon Figueroa, but that's not a bad like the final three fights of the card. Ray Vargas, Nick Ball, Zilhai Zhang, Joseph Parker, Joshua Ngannou. That's a fun offering.
I like it. That's something that, you know, we're seeing with these Saudi fights. Like, they're putting on good fights, good shows. You know,
right. They are good. I mean, I've seen some complaints on Twitter. That's just boxing fans being boxing fans. His Excellency also said that he wants to pit the winner of Fury Usyk versus the winner of Joshua Ngannou for the undisputed title. Why not? Why are we stopping here? Keep dreaming big, His Excellency.
I like it.
Could be another thing in the heavyweight division. The undercard of Fury Usyk was revealed. Somehow, we're a month away from Fury Usyk. I expect that to get ramped up even more in terms of marketing. They put out the poster. Jay Opatai, who was the best cruiserweight in the world, is fighting Maris Bradis rematch. Bradis was the cruiserweight champ for a long time. Opatai upset him. Then they stripped Opatai, and then he fought on the Saudi card. Now he just gets another get back at Bradis. Joe Cardina is fighting on the Fury Usyk undercard, and Sergey Kovalev. I don't know how or where they found him hiding from, but he's getting a Saudi check. Step on up, Sergey Kovalev.
I mean, I don't think anybody really cared where Kovalev was, but now that he's back, I mean, like you said, he's going to pick up that Saudi check, whatever.
You think
was
he got
a
the
lot
phone
of fun.
Call and was like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm. Hold on, let me put down the vodka. Yes, yes.
You guys want me to fight in Saudi Arabia? Oh, yeah, I'll be there tomorrow.
I take the fight.
Yeah, unbelievable. So, I mean, the Cardenas facing Nick, I can't even pronounce his last name, but he's a champ at 130. Opposite Bredis, that's two of the best lightweights, light heavyweights, I should say, best cruiserweights.
Cruiserweights.
And then you got two of the best heavyweights, Fury and Usyk, fun. So that's what's going down February 17th, March 8th, Friday is Ngannou and Joshua. We've talked about that fight already. We'll talk about that one more as we get closer. And finally, Chris, last item, Vasily Lomachenko is fighting George Kambosos May 12th. For the vacant IBF title, many months away. I put out a tweet on Twitter, and I said, thoughts. And there's like 300 responses. And anything ranging from Loma's going to smoke this guy. Kambosos will be able to beat him because Loma's overrated. To why are these two guys fighting for a vacant world title? Let's get some new blood in there. I think all those might apply for this fight.
Yeah, well, except for Lomachenko being overrated. I think, yeah, he's not
overrated, but maybe like towards the end of it, you know, not what he once was, which is fine.
Yeah, but even an 80% Lomachenko beats most guys, even top level guys. So, yeah, I don't know. This is the least enticing of the number of fights that we were just talking about in terms of what I'm thinking. But Boxing Insiders, we knew this was coming. This has been down in the pipe for a while. It's weird that it's happening. You know, so many months away already, and they're announcing it here when they've been talking about it for 6 months. So
it's got to be the Australia aspect of it. It's got to be
stadium
fight. Like, this was supposed to be the fight. This was supposed to be the fight before Haney stepped in. It was supposed to be Kambosos versus Lomachenko. Lomachenko decided to stay home in the Ukraine. Lomachenko then loses to Haney, and then
Kambosos loses to Maxie Hughes.
Right, that's another aspect, another wrinkle of this. So I can understand the fans being upset with this fight. And also Shakur Stevenson was supposed to fight Lomachenko for the vacant WBC belt. That's how we got De Los Santos fight. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense in terms of meritocracy, which doesn't exist in boxing anyway. George Kambosos, I mean, you have the best management team maybe in the history of boxing. You parlayed a great performance against Teofimo Lopez into 3 to 4 years of maximum payouts, and it's still going on. Like, kudos to you. You're playing the game perfectly. Like, you have figured a cheat code in the system, a glitch in the matrix for Kambosos, his team, Peter Kahn, and with Top Rank. And I'm not sure if Lou DeBell is still with Kambosos, but shout out to any of our
analytical fans in there. Go look up how many rounds Kambosos has won since the Teofimo fight. Realistically,
not a lot, because I don't think he went one against Haney
in 24 rounds. Yeah,
maybe. One, and then let's say like I had Maxie Hughes beating him 8-4, 7-5. Yep. So five rounds in his last
five rounds since Teofimo. Yeah,
36.
Mm-hmm.
That gets you. Yep. I mean, is he that popular in Australia to where it warrants him getting this? Like, I don't know. I know the second fight with Haney wasn't at that big stadium. It was scaled down because it was such a one-sided fight, the first one.
Yeah, neither one of those fights were like exciting or good. It wasn't like he fought an exciting performance. You know, he just got outboxed, and second one he got beat up. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's just some people are snake bitten, and other people are blessed from the angels. And
then you go to Lomachenko's side. A guy will tell you he was just wanted to be undisputed forever, and he got that shot and came up just short. Many had him winning against Haney, and you see him in the backstage with the tears in his eyes because he got so damn close to his ultimate goal as a boxer. And then he sits out a year now. He's going to be out for a year, and then he's fighting Kambosos for just one strap. You have to wonder where his motivation lies at this point in his career at, you know, 35 years old, but an old 35. A lot of wear and tear, a lot of mileage on him with that amateur career. I would think we're angling towards a winner gets Shakur Stevenson. That would make sense. So maybe a Lomachenko versus Stevenson, and he can work his way back towards undisputed, or he could just say, hey, I beat Shakur Stevenson. I would like to know what's motivating Lomachenko at this point in his career.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And I think that's probably the most poignant thing about this matchup in general. It's like, what, how much of Lomachenko is left? How much did he leave in the gym and in the ring with Devin Haney? Not that it was a very grueling physical fight. You know, it was, but it wasn't like one of those life-altering ones. But I think in terms of what he had to put himself through in training, we saw that in his emotion after the fight. Fights don't have to be physically demanding or damaging to change you. So I'm curious to see what he has left. I mean, he has been universally recognized as a guy who trains very, very hard and comes in fantastic shape. But if that drive isn't the same, if you don't want to put that same effort day in and day out and on fight night, things happen. Funky things happen.
And Kambosos too. I mean, he made so much money and
yeah, if Kambosos is on the opposite side of a potential of making something happen, shoot, the guy's done it before.
Unbelievable. That's our show this week. Every week I'm like, all right, what are we going to talk about? And then so much news happens. The sport flourishing right now. We're getting big fights all over in every division. This weekend, we got Michaela Mayers fighting Natasha Jonas.
Oh,
if that's something
that's
you're interested in, that should be good. At 147, Michaela Mayers jumping up two weight classes. And then following week, we get Jaime Munguia and Derevchenko, which I think will be a really fun.
You keep saying
Derevchenko. Keep saying that?
I don't know.
Thank you for correcting me, bro. That's a great co-host. I will go study my notes and so I don't make any more mistakes. No show later in the week. We have some other stuff going on at John Boy Media and Chris as well. So this is your show, and I will have some more content later in the week. Working on some fighter interviews. Chris, enjoy the Florida weather and have a great one.
Thanks, man. I'll be up in New York in a couple of days. So
right. Do you want to talk about quickly the nephew?
Yeah, my nephew Michael's fighting on Long Island. Some Long Island.
Another Algerian, man. When I saw an Algerian on a fight poster, I was like, damn, because on Instagram he doesn't have his last name. And then I saw the poster, and I was like, damn, an Algeri is resurfacing on Long Island. It's at Stereo Garden. I've covered a lot of fights there. My brother's MMA promotion put on fights there.
Nice.
It's a cool venue. It's like a lion's den. They're going to put the ring. It's like you kind of – they sink it in, and you're kind of just staring down. May have to come out for that.
That's cool. Yeah, I've never been to it, so I'm looking forward
to coming.
It's
like a club. I mean, they put like – it's like a music venue. But they also have starting to do more fights there. And this is part of what was formerly known as the Golden Gloves, which is now called Ringmasters, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Which is strange because Golden Gloves is one of the most synonymous things ever with boxing. Yeah. But we got another Algeria in the works. We'll touch on that next week. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.